Sam mentioned the meeting by Brother Dennis Scroggins. He did some wonderful preaching, and we appreciate the fact that he is continuing to serve God under very difficult circumstances. Dennis has a very severe form of diabetes. He also has recurring cancer. He lost his wife not too long ago, and through all of this, he's remained faithful. He's not been bitter at all. He's been very thankful to be able to serve God, and we appreciate that so very much. As we look at our message this morning, he was talking about changes that were not good. Today we want to talk about change sometimes that is good. We have to recognize that sometimes that is true, that sometimes change is very good. The church is changing. I want to look back at some of the things that Brother Scroggins said, recognizing that more and more liberalism is creeping into the churches of the Lord. They're doing things that are unauthorized. They're preaching things that are not right. And sometimes the meeting, the kind of preaching is very shallow. And we want to be better than that. I got tickled to Brother Mark this morning. He said that Joel Osteen on his program said, find a Bible-based church. And he's here this morning. We are a Bible-based church, because we do believe the Scriptures, and we're going to go by the Scriptures and nothing else. Some are dissatisfied with what the Bible calls the pattern. The Bible does teach that we have a pattern to follow. And as we're a Bible-based church, we're also a pattern-based church because we follow the pattern. There are many people who call themselves the change agents. They're very dissatisfied with the church. And I want to affirm this morning that I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to be a member of the Lord's kingdom. I've been blessed to be able to be among God's people all these years of my life. And I wouldn't change anything about the divine pattern that God has shown us. Liberalism is among us. We call liberalism the loose interpretation of the Scripture. They don't want to be bound by what the pattern says. They want to change as they want to. It's become known among us as unity in diversity. A number of very prominent brethren have talked about unity and diversity, by which they loosen the fellowship to include people that are not living right and are not faithful to God. So we have to recognize that the church is changing today, which means that we deliberately decide not to change. We're not here by accident. We're not here just coincidental. We have decided in our hearts, in our minds, to serve the Lord God with all our minds, with all our soul, with all our strength. Because of that, we need to really understand that the unity is the unity in the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4. The unity of the Spirit is given to us, and Paul said we're to maintain the unity of the Spirit, not unity in diversity. We have to recognize that very clearly. Well, this is not good. While we recognize that some change is good, this change is not good. In Ephesians chapter 25, verse 40, that is echoed in Hebrews 8 and verse 5, the Lord told Moses to be sure to make everything according to the pattern that I showed you on the mount. Brethren and friends, God gave us a pattern. Now we understand in technology and workplace what a pattern is. If the women have ever sewed, you understand what a pattern is, and you make something after the pattern. So you have the type and the antitype. And as we follow the antitype, which is Christ and the Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, there's another passage that speaks of something that we need to understand. And so we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, and the Scripture says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the fact that we follow the pattern of Scripture. We have to understand how to go to heaven. I don't know that of my own will. I can't tell you of my own wisdom how to get to heaven, but I can tell you what the Bible says about that, and I can tell you that God always keeps His Word. And so whatever the pattern says, that's exactly what we need. And then in the book of Titus, we have another thing that reminds us of the pattern in a different kind of way. And what we have there is the idea of the kind of life that we lead. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. There's a way of life that is consistent with the gospel that we live by. And we have to recognize that there's a pattern of life that we should serve God. We're not to steal. Ephesians 4:26, let him that stole steal no more, but rather labor with his hands to give to those who have need. The kind of modesty that we are to understand. We live in the summer season now, just about, soon to be the month of June. And people are stripping off into nudity nearly, and you can't go to the mall without seeing all that. But we want to be sure that our sisters and brothers understand modesty and that we keep ourselves modest, because the Bible teaches it's a sin to be immodest and to show unclothedness. And we have to understand there's a pattern of godly living, and God wants us to echo in our life what Jesus is. So we appeal to the nature of Jesus Christ as a pattern. No invitation in many churches is now being extended. I was in Corpus Christi visiting my son when he lived there, and we attended one of the churches there. They didn't offer the invitation at all. And I remember rather distinctly, Brother Dennis Scroggin mentioned Louis Zamora. Louis Zamora was a Catholic boy that I baptized when I lived at Woodmont. And he told me very clearly, he called me one time very upset. He went to a gospel meeting. They didn't offer the invitation at all. And he said, if you had not offered the invitation at Woodmont when I was searching for the truth, I never would have obeyed the gospel. It really disturbed him, and it disturbs me that no invitation is extended. You think about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, it cries out for an invitation. To come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't think you can be a gospel preacher if you don't preach in such a way that leads people to regret, repent of their sins, come forward to be baptized for the remission of their sins, and they have an invitation to do that. Folks, it's not my invitation, though I agree with it. It is the Lord's invitation. The song that has been picked out for the invitation is, "Who at the door is standing?" Now, if Jesus Christ came on that door, we knew He was out there, wouldn't you open it? You'd be tickled to death to see Jesus and to open that invitation. Well, there's lost people who are bound for hell. And when the gospel of Christ lays out their sins, but shows them how to get forgiveness of their sins, we want people to understand they're invited. We want you in the kingdom of Christ, and the kingdom of Christ is open for all. There's not a closed body in the sense that nobody can obey it. Everybody can obey the gospel of Christ. We're seeing many churches now beginning to add instrumental music in their worship. You'll have the traditional service at one time and the modern worship service at another time. And that denies the silence of the Scriptures. It denies what the Bible teaches about music. An organ, a piano, a guitar, whatever it might be, is just a dumb instrument. It's a mechanical piece that has no heart. What Jesus wants is a heart. And so we're to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. That's what singing really is. There are 9 times that singing is mentioned in the New Testament. Don't go back and tell me that they had that in the Old Testament. They had altars where they sacrificed goats and lambs. We don't have an altar for that. If you want to go back to the Old Testament, Paul told the Galatians, if you keep it one way, you're a debtor to keep the whole law. So don't try to go back to the Old Testament. Look at the New Testament and know what it says. They also have women in leadership roles. When I talk about that, I usually add a disclaimer. I'm not saying that women are less valued to God. I'm not mad at angels because angels are greater than I. The Bible says that we're a little lower than the angels. Well, that's the way that it is. God has given men certain things to do in service to God. God has given women certain things to do in service to God. We're not in competition or antagonistic to one another. We're yoked together in the service of God. and entertainment and fellowship halls. You can hardly find a Church of Christ today without a fellowship hall in the kitchen. It's hard to find a church. If you travel, you have to be very careful where you go, because they're going to be eating something and calling it fellowship. The Bible never talks about a common meal being fellowship. They need to emphasize that. This is our fellowship hall. We're in fellowship with Christ. People demean the church when you think you've got to have meals and fellowship halls and entertainment to bring them to worship services. And then so many churches now, you notice, when it comes around to Christmas time and Easter time, they advertise that they're going to have some kind of Christmas service. Oh, I remember Sister Minnie Jones, out in North Carolina. She and her daughters went to Florida one time on vacation, and they heard the gospel, and all three of them obeyed the gospel of Christ. They came back to North Carolina and began to worship in their homes. And Sister Jones, Lenny Jones, they would sing, and they would have the Lord's Supper. They didn't have any men. Finally, they had the gospel preachers to come into North Carolina and hold some meetings, and some of the men obeyed the gospel. And then the Marine Air Force Base came into the area. They had Marines coming over to worship with them. One of the Marines said, "I'm going to put up a tree tomorrow. Tomorrow's Christmas. I'm going to put up a tree in the lobby and decorate it." Lenny Jones says, "If you do, I'll bring an axe and chop it down." And she meant it. Well, that's the way we have to have the faith and perseverance to do what God wants us to do. But more and more churches, they even have Halloween celebrations in the church and all of that sort of thing. Shallow preaching. God forbid that my preaching ever gets shallow. I know that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I don't have any illusions about myself. But one thing I have is a trust in God's Word that'll never vanish. And I want the God's Word to lead us all. So we need to understand the church is changing. It's not good. The Brethren Northside is dedicated to pattern worship, pattern living. This is good. And these things never change, because it's always right. Now then, when we talk about changing and not changing, God does not change. He said in Malachi 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." That is, the Israelites had gone astray. You're not consumed, you're not accepted, God was saying, because I never change. Now, you know, that's a wonderful thing. When you look at the gods of the Romans and the Greeks, they're always very capricious. Sometimes they'd be just angry, send down bolts of lightning and harm people. Now, that's a myth, of course, not real. And then on other occasions, they would shine, and if the people gave them enough, including their babies, to Baal and things like that. And I just can't help but step aside for a moment and think that America is going to Baal all over again. 60 million abortions have taken place since Roe versus Wade. And I think about Israelites that knew about God. They would take their babies, and this big old brass statue would be there with fire in its belly, and they would take their little ones and throw them into the fire. Well, what are we doing any different? What are we doing any different? And so the reason that the Israelites were not accepted was because God doesn't change, and they changed. They had to recognize that. But then in Psalms 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It is what it is. If you have a problem with music in the church, take it up with God. If you have trouble with the Lord's Supper quarterly or annually and you like it that way, take it up with God. If you want to be immodest in your living, drink, smoke, do all those things that the world is doing, and you're going to approve of those things, take it up with God. He's my standard. He's what the truth is. Your Lord is always settled. In Isaiah 5 and verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." This could be headlines in the papers today. That's the way people are living today. And to recognize, well, there's a movement now among the House of Representatives in Washington to take away any name of God. Christianity is under attack in America today. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it? I talk with a brother who goes to the Philippines real often. He's been there maybe 60 times. And he said it may be the way America's going. One day the Filipinos have to send the gospel back to America. But the gospel will always be there. The church will always be there. One thing about it, Daniel said, it's an eternal kingdom. And it's always going to be there. Now, we may suffer, and I hope if we do have to, we have the faith to suffer for the cause of Christ. But the world is changing and the church is changing in so many different ways. In 2 Timothy 1:13, we read that just a moment ago. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me. That's apostolic preaching. That's the tradition of the apostles, not the traditions of men. In faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. So he's talking about a pattern of sound words. Sound means healthy in the Greek. It's healthy to follow the pattern of God's word. It leads to heaven. It means that you have good families. It means that you have good children. It means that you have a good nation. And the family is under attack and changing in our day today. As statistics, whatever they are, say there are more people that are shacking up rather than marrying. There are more people shacking up than are married in our life. And most people, it's funny to watch television and somebody will say, MC will say, well, how long have y'all been together? Oh, we've been together 6 years. We've been married 2. They're not ashamed of it. It's accepted. What has become sinful has become normalized in America today. Now, don't think this is not going to have an effect on our young people. And it does have an effect because they see all this, they hear all this, and it's normal. And we've got to show them that it's not normal. Sin is never normal. When change is a good thing, repentance is always a good thing. I want you to search your hearts. And I know that in our prayers this morning, we've talked about repentance, change of mind and change of life. And that's so good to understand that. And the Apostle Paul was doing that when he preached with regard to people changing their mind. In chapter 26, beginning in verse 18, we'll go back to verse 17, Acts 26 and verse 17. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. This is God saying to Paul, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. My friend, never be ashamed of penitence. If you do something wrong, stop. Stop. And say, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's a change of mind followed by a change of life. And repentance is essential to going to heaven. And we see that even in the Gospels of Christ. Luke chapter 3 and in verse 8, the Bible records that Jesus was saying, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to you, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Don't claim that just because you're a member of the Church of Christ, you don't have to repent at times. We do sin. We do make mistakes. As Brother Talley said, we miss our mark. And that's true. We miss our mark sometimes. And we have to understand, I can't keep doing that. I can't live in that kind of fashion. Spiritual growth is something that we need to always have, which calls for change. It certainly calls for change because as we grow, we've got to give up some things of the past and hope for other things better. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, which is echoed throughout the Bible, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in this. To grow means that you're not going to be a babe in Christ forever. To grow sometimes means you've got to change your mind about some things. When I first became a Christian, the church was at peace. I can't help but remember how wonderful and edifying it was just to worship God. We didn't have... I know back in those days, you're talking about the 40s and 50s, premillennialism was a big problem, but there wasn't any other big problems in the church except godly living. And I was just so wonderful to enjoy things then. But I was a babe in Christ. I was young. I had just become a Christian. I didn't have any idea. I really thought, when I became a preacher years later, that my life would be a debate with Baptist preachers, denominational preachers, because I knew they were wrong. I was amazed that I've spent most of my time debating with brethren over those things that are departing. How sad it is that we don't agree on the unity of the Spirit, but we have these problems growing. Hebrews chapter 5, the Apostle Paul rebuked the Hebrew Christians because when by reason of time they ought to be teachers, they had need that somebody teach them anew the rudiments of the gospel. Rudiments means the basic things. If we're going to have the rudiments of English, it's ABCs. The rudiments of the gospel have to do with how to become a Christian, how to grow in the grace of knowledge, and they were not advancing the way God wanted them to do. Now look at yourself. Are you growing? Can you see that you understand the Scriptures better than you did before? This is certainly what we need to understand. And then the change is a good thing as the church membership grows. I've mentioned so many times how frustrating it is that we haven't grown the way we ought to grow. I like to blame it on our culture. I like to blame it on the fact that that people just not interested in Bible study anymore. The reality is that there's something missing. We have the Lord's church. I don't doubt that for a minute. But there's something missing that the early church had. And that's that sense of urgency to take the gospel to the lost. After Stephen's death in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, they went everywhere preaching the word, and we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Now, what we've developed that you can do is you take these cards that advertise the website and you give them away everywhere and you'll be evangelizing. That's what they're designed for. By the way, Brother Kevin Greer, our webmaster, is extremely sick. He has fourth stage kidney failure. Now he has heart failure. And it's a very hard thing for him to do any work at all right now. Pray that he'll get better. Because it has to do with our evangelism as people look at our website. So we need to understand that. In the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 47, which is familiar to you, it's that in the beginning of the church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In chapter 5 of the book of Acts, in verse 14, the Bible says believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Oh, I pray for that to happen again. I pray that there come a time when buildings are full and we have to build new buildings, have to get chairs in the aisle. That happened in North Carolina when I first preached out there. We started off with about 100. And we had lots of Bible studies and were grew to over 240. And there were many, many baptisms and many, many converted from liberalism because there was a Marine base and we were the only church in the county and people came to worship with us and they didn't know what the church was doing and changing. We had chairs in the aisle. Oh, I long for that again. You think about that when you think about trying to convert somebody. Reach out to someone with the gospel of Christ. In the book of Acts again, chapter 16, and this is after the meeting in Acts chapter 15 with the apostles and elders, in Acts chapter 16 and in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. We're not doing something right. And I have to admit, I haven't lived like the Apostle Paul has lived. I haven't suffered like the Apostle Paul. I don't have the strength to go out and do what Paul did and suffer the way that he did. But we can pray for that and certainly hope for it. And the congregational's workforce, that is, we together work together for the cause of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul talked about those who were faithful, who would teach others to be faithful. And so that goes from generation to generation. Back in Deuteronomy, the early Hebrews were taught to teach every generation and those yet unborn, and daily to have the Scriptures before them so that their children and grandchildren will know that. And that's what we need to do. The congregation's workforce is going on to the next generation. And the congregation's productivity, that is, doing the things that God wants us to do in such a way that we will be faithful to God and produce some good works. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 1, chapter 4 and verse 1, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God." When you talk about abound, you're talking about something teeming, overflowing, your cup runneth over. But he said, do that more and more. Don't ever be satisfied with status quo. Now, I'm not talking about changing the church, but I'm talking about our zeal, our labor in the Lord, our desire to bring people to Christ. Never get tired of that. Whoa, the sermon's over. Has it fallen on good ears? Has it been something that'll help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? That's exactly what we need, and I certainly hope that it'll be true for all of you as